the Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. You see it, we help you do it. AIB, for the life you're after.
Finally, next Friday, the Olympics will kick off in Paris. It's 100 years since the Irish Free State won its first ever Olympic medal. Also in Paris, the recipient, Jack B. Yeats, of the famous Yeats family, for his painting of the Liffey Swim. Art about sport was included at the time. But this morning, we're marking his lesser-known sisters, who at times kept the family going financially with their craft and printing business, Kula Industries. Dr. Angela Griffith from the Department of the History of Art and Architecture at Trinity has more.
Last night I dreamed someone left me £10,000, thinking how splendid it would be. I could repay Willie £1,000 he gave the press, pay the overdraft, my own tiresome bills and Lily's, and still have £8,000 to invest. These words, written in a letter in 1938, belong to the elderly printer Elizabeth Corbett Yeats. Despite being a member of one of the country's best-known artistic families, Elizabeth and her sister Lily were not like others in their social circle, made up of genteel middle-class philanthropists. Instead, they were women who had to work for a living from a young age. They were cut off from living like other young ladies of their standing, their spendthrift father acknowledged regretfully. Neither of them married. Misogynistically dismissed by James Joyce as weird sisters and designing females, it's important to note that Elizabeth and Lily were not hobbyists, but they were professional craftspeople through their own will and talent. Throughout their lives, they supported themselves, other family members, and took responsibility for their staff. In the early 1900s, the sisters made the courageous and nationalistic decision to leave behind established careers in London. Elizabeth was a college instructor in art and the successful author of painting manuals. Lily had worked at William Morris's internationally renowned arts and crafts company. Drawing on their experiences in England and seeing a growing global market for finely made handcrafts, the sisters moved to Dublin permanently to establish their own Irish arts and crafts business. They first worked in partnership with Evelyn Gleeson, a weaver and suffragette at Dunemer Industries in leafy Dundrum. However, by 1908, in search of greater independence, they founded their own company, Kula Industries. Western society in the early 1900s was a time of change for women. In addition to securing the vote, education, employment opportunities, and new social freedoms were increasing. The Yeats sisters and their staff represented these changes. From their inception, Dunemer and Kula employed only women. The work of Elizabeth and Lily Yeats and their staff testified to the industry, creativity, and enterprise of Irish women. And as committed Irish nationalists, they were consciously making a political statement about the country as a whole. Writing to Lily on the death of Elizabeth in 1940, Britain's poet laureate and family friend John Masefield wrote, "We have always felt that your sister did very much to make your brother what he was, and to keep the Irish movement linked to the arts rather than with violent political upheaval. We shall treasure the Kula books."
"But it set me thinking of Sligo and Lake Water. I think there is only one..."
Exhibited at home and abroad, Kula products portrayed an Ireland of social, political and cultural cohesion, a place of possibility and poetry, a place that celebrated the material skills and the spirit of Ireland. Under the Yeats sisters, Kula Industries became an important Irish enterprise. It set standards, it helped establish markets for Irish crafts and provided inspiration for their contemporaries and future generations. The role of the sisters was recognised by the new state. Irish ambassador to Australia, Thomas Joseph Kiernan, described their work as one of the largest assets in the cultural balance sheet of Ireland. Despite the many financial hardships the company faced, including national and international conflict, a global economic crash, and the fragility of the Free State's economy, The Yates sisters doggedly maintained their vision and their standards. This was only possible because of their professionalism, self-sacrifice and tenacity. After Lily's retirement due to ill health in the mid-1930s, Kula continued under the directorship of Elizabeth until her death, age 70. Despite her age, she had many publishing projects still in planning. While the sisters often voiced their concerns and weariness with the challenges of running a business, they remained steadfast, their staff loyal. They bravely challenged the patriarchy and were key architects in constructing Irish identity. Elizabeth's beautifully hand-printed books and prints, Lily's finely crafted needlework, are today housed in important collections across the world. Their primary vision, as described in an early company prospectus, was to find work for Irish hands in the making of beautiful things. And this they certainly achieved.
Dr. Angela Griffith there, and you can see some of the Kula collection online and in the Trinity Library.